Small town common sense in a big city world. This is the Scottcast.
Well, hi there. My name is Scott James, and after, I don't know, 3 or 4 months dormant, I thought I would record a Scottcast. I have heard from so many of you, and you have been so very kind, in almost sometimes kind of an antagonistic way. When are you going to record another podcast? I'm looking at you, Scott Crawford. People have, and I appreciate that so very much. Thank you for saying that you miss my voice and that you want to hear it. I have been so hesitant in taking to my microphone again because of a draft that sits in my website's draft folder. Words Matter is the thought that I've had forever of something that I needed to record. Words Matter. And when I think about adding more words to the word of sphere, so to speak, I think, what can I say that hasn't been said? What can I speak that hasn't been spoken? There's so much noise and so many words, and why do mine need to be in the mix? I merge a blog post and a podcast together. The blog post is really kind of my show notes. It's online at scottkjames.com. And you almost have to kind of consume this podcast and look at the show notes at the same time because I'm going to reference it too. There's some things that are on there that are photos and some links and that kind of thing. And so when you get a chance, don't do it while you're driving, for the love of Pete. But when you get a chance, please go look at scottkjames.com. Look under episode 90 of the Scottcasts. And it's Cigar Stories 9. I had this wise idea. I've had so many great ideas. I just don't fulfill so many of them. But I had this great idea at the beginning of the summer that, you know, I go out to my pergola and I smoke cigars and I think big thoughts. And I thought, I'm just going to write those big thoughts. I'm going to grab my iPad and I'll go write those big thoughts and make them a series of cigar stories. And it's just what I'm thinking when I smoke cigars. And that started just like gangbusters. Man, I wrote a bunch of them, just bang, 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 bang. And then I stopped because words matter. And I wasn't so sure that the words that I was putting into the wordosphere actually mattered. And I think about that a lot. Tonight, it's a Sunday night that I record this, Sunday the 6th of October. Tonight, after a beautiful day, my wife and I took to the pergola as evening set in, and I reached into my humidor and I grabbed my last beloved Perdomo Champagne Reserve. That's my go-to cigar, my everyday cigar, Nick Perdomo, there in Miami. One day I'm going to go visit Nick, and he can show me the vault where he keeps all my money. And I'm going to say, geez, Nick, you're welcome. And by the way, can I pick up another box of Champagne Reserves while I'm here? And, you know, the ironic thing is I have gone through 3 boxes this summer of Champagne Reserves. At 24 a box, you can do the math pretty quick. That's 72 cigars. And it's not the only thing I smoked either. I've smoked some of other Perdomo's other products. And I've had some Monte Cristos, some Monte Cristo Classics. Those are good. Well, I could talk about cigars forever. But I went through 3 boxes. That's more cigars than I've ever smoked. Oh, my God, my habit's out of control. It's not a habit. It's a hobby, by the way. And I enjoyed that. This was the first summer that I have had since I entered the radio business 41 years ago, where I got to have it for me. And maybe that's why I've been quiet, somewhat quiet on the blog, and certainly quiet on the Scottcast and the other podcasts that I'm working on. I've been quiet because I have rather, in a rather gluttonous manner, enjoyed this summer. I've loved it. I've had cocktails far too many evenings out of the week. And, you know, my wife would come home on a Monday and she said, "You want to have a cocktail?" And I'd say, "It's Monday." And she'd say, "So what?" And I never did that kind of stuff before because I was so disciplined. I had to get up at 2 a.m. and I had no time to waste. And I had margin and I had time this summer, and it was a glorious summer, and it's been kind of elongated, thank you, God. And my wife and I have had wonderful, beautiful evenings under my pergola where I've smoked cigars and shared time with Julie and Bella, the intrepid hound with which I cohabitate. And it's been nice. But as fall sets in, I thought it was ironic. It was almost poetic that I reached into my humidor and there was the last Champagne Reserve. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not out of cigars. Oh, I've probably got another 40 sticks in there. But my go-to was gone. Fall has arrived. You could feel it in the air. It got brisk as the sun set, and I had to come inside almost before the Perdomo Champagne Reserve was done. You know, it was interesting. It was about this time of the year, 5 years ago now, that I had this very unusual, weird thing. It was the fall of 2019, and I was mowing my lawn for one of the final times of the year, and I was cleaning out flower beds and kind of putting things to bed for the winter. You know how that goes, you know, when you think, geez, snow's going to fly soon, and I better get my yard and everything ready for the winter. And as I was doing that, I just got this unbelievable, I don't know whether it's a melancholy feeling or this, was it a feeling of dread? It was a premonition that, boy, something wicked this way comes. Something odd is afoot. And what hit in 2020? COVID. And everything changed. And here in 2024, we still feel the impacts of everything changing. The things that so rapidly took place in 2024 because of COVID, and using COVID as an excuse, which we blew that far out of proportion, by the way. But it changed everything. It's the same kind of feeling that I have this fall. I don't know whether it's something wicked that this way comes, but something is afoot. Something is different. Yes, we're in election season. Yes, something's going to be different. And friends, we need to be on guard. We need to be ready. I think ready in our families. I think we need to be ready from a spiritual standpoint. We need to be ready for whatever it is that comes. But the same feeling that I had in the fall of 2019 is the feeling that I have right now. Something's coming. And we need to be on guard. Okay, let me talk a little bit about a couple of things I've written about. This is a ScottCast. I'm going to ramble, and my thoughts are completed at scottkjames.com in the show notes that accompany this particular post. And it's kind of interesting, the fact that I found myself, a guy who spoke for a living for almost 41 years, I found myself rather enjoying writing. There's something methodical about it, something planned, something intentional. I can edit my words. I can formulate my thoughts. And not that I can't edit my words and formulate my thoughts when I record, but what fun is that? For 41 years, I made a living just kind of being a turn on the mic and let's go kind of guy. And so I rarely prepare for these recordings. I just want to talk about what comes to my heart. But writing for me is different. And you can see some of those writings at scottkjames.com. I've got a couple of stories that I want to comment on. They include the Denver Natural Grocers closing. I have an article that I wrote there. Have you heard about that? It's rather fascinating, the fact that this Denver Natural Grocers has closed. And they are announcing they're closing. It's going to be October 31st when it closes. Natural Grocers has announced the closure of its Capitol Hill store in Denver due to ongoing challenges with retail theft and safety issues affecting performance. Have you been to downtown Denver lately? I had a meeting down there at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, it was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the homelessness and the lawlessness that you witness in the streets is scary for a guy my size. And I'm not being exaggerating. How can they not look out the glorious Capitol windows and see that there is a problem on their streets and not strive to fix it? And I've watched Mayor Mike Johnston pour millions upon millions upon millions of dollars into this homeless slash illegal immigrant problem that he has. And hey, Mayor Johnston, you're a young man, not like he's ever going to come across this podcast. Pal, you're not going to fix it. I think it's appropriate that a government tries to take action. But the first action you should take is to lobby the legislators to overturn House Bill, 1911-24, which prohibited local law enforcement in the state of Colorado from working with ICE. You should work to have that overturned, sir. That lawlessness that exists on your streets is now causing businesses to close. That store is located at the intersection of Colfax Avenue and Washington Street. Officially closed its doors October 31st, according to Natural Grocers. Lakewood Grocer said that it will close its 1433 Washington Street store after struggling with retail theft and safety issues impacting the store's performance. They're closing because they're getting ripped off. They're throwing in the towel. We give up. Here is the co-president of Natural Grocers, Kemper Isley, said in a statement, "We have been actively working to address the theft and safety issues impacting our store at Colfax in Washington for some time. Despite our investment in security and loss prevention strategies over the years," so they've had to invest in security and loss prevention, but mind you, a common rent-a-cop cannot place someone under arrest. There's only so much that a common rent-a-cop can do. But thank you, state legislature, there's only so much that sworn law enforcement can do anymore. "We have so watered down our laws in the state that lawlessness is beginning to reign." And people will think, "Well, Commissioner, how can you possibly say that? What is your evidence?" Use your two eyes and your gut instinct. This is what's happening on our streets right here in Colorado. The statement continued. "Despite our investment in security and loss prevention strategies over the years, the factors have continued to challenge our ability to operate our stores safely and sustainably, and we have lost and we have made the difficult decision to close our doors at this location." It's lawlessness. Welcome to Denver. Mayor Mike Johnston, that's the kind of things you need to focus on, working with the state legislature to again empower your law enforcement officers to enforce the law. There is a spirit that's growing that really bothers me. And we have lost the respect for our institutions. On both sides of the aisle, we no longer respect the institutions. FBI, don't trust them. Secret Service, are you kidding me? Don't trust them. Who do you trust? Who can you trust anymore? Because there is no accountability. We constantly see laws broken. And when do bad guys go to jail? Now, what's interesting is I'm going to comment on another story, and I don't know whether she's necessarily a bad person or not, but you have seen who is going to jail. Tina Peters got 9 years in the Jusco. 9 years. Now, trust me, I thought she was a bombast all along. And quite frankly, I think justice has been served there. But there are some that are saying they had to shut her up. You know those people already. You've seen them in your social media feeds. I believe that justice was done there. But why is justice done to Tina Peters and not to the people that are breaking into the Natural Grocers? Law must be enforced equally. You must admit that we have a selective justice system in this United States, and we must have equal justice for all. Not social justice, not environmental justice, not climate justice. Justice equally applied for all. Now, I'm not saying that Tina Peters didn't deserve to go to jail because I have read some of the facts of that case, and I think she does. But so does the other people that break the law. We must have equal justice. And you know darn good and well that even though she was a bombast and they wanted to put her in jail, there was satisfaction that was derived, and the left went harumph, look at her, she's going to jail. We should celebrate the fact that justice is performed for all, not for just those who have fallen out of favor with the spirit of the age. Tina Peters is going to jail, and you can read my comments online at scottkjames.com. One of the things that I comment about is this Denver slaughterhouse ban. Have you seen this? It is initiated Ordinance 309 in Denver, and it will close down that lamb plant there. That processes a whole heck of a lot of lamb. Big percentage of it here in the United States. The exact percentages are online there at scottkjames.com. But my main point about this, and that's why I like reading, is because I can go and research the facts and put them into my reading. I can never recall them just right off the top of my head. But here's why I am always a little hesitant even with this direct democracy thing that we have here in the state of Colorado with the amendment and the referenda process. Because that means that the legislature is not effectively doing their job and people go through the petition process and they throw their hands up in the air. The legislature is not going to do it, but we're going to do it. And sometimes that's good. I give you Tabor. And sometimes it's not so good. I give you the reintroduction of wolves in the state of Colorado. Because you know exactly what's happening. It becomes a popularity contest, and the bleating hearts bleat. And we'll see a couple of them I believe the 131 prop, the Kent Theory deal that's going to the ballot. I mean, that has an interesting proposition. It would never exist if the parties were simply functional, but the parties are not functional, especially the GOP, simply not functional. And so you're going to have a knee jerk and you're going to see something like jungle primaries and ranked choice voting. And that's not the answer either. But that's the kind of thing that can happen when we have the amendment and referenda process. And that's exactly what's happening with this Denver slaughterhouse ban. Oh, you're back with the gray wolves. Everybody in Denver Boulder went, we need to have wolves in the Rocky Mountains. They're just little puppies. No, they're wolves and they're predators. And they're going to take people's livestock. And guess what's happened? It's taken people's livestock. And that's one of those things that won because of the emotion that was ginned up by those who supported it. It's like a test case, so to speak. And the donut hole that is the state of Colorado and the Denver Boulder area elected that in, and Colorado ranchers are paying for it today, and it was wrong to enact. And that's why a functioning constitutional republic needs to be had. That's the entire concept behind a constitutional republic, is we can have these conversations, we can discuss things outside the emotion of the day. And I fear that this emotion is going to impact this Denver slaughterhouse ban. It smells. It smells, and there's an environmental impact, and those poor little sheep, well, they're just going to slaughter them somewhere else, and you're going to lose the 2,900 jobs that are associated with this plant. And the very neighborhood that is, quote-unquote, disproportionately impacted will be disproportionately impacted all the more because those good jobs created by that slaughterhouse will be lost right there in the neighborhood, in the Globeville neighborhood, where those people live and work. But we'll feel good about ourselves now, won't we? I have a problem with this Denver slaughterhouse ban, and we need to get beyond emotion when it comes to the ballot box. Another thing I want to comment about that you could read about at scottkjames.com is Dan Haley bidding adieu from the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, from COGA. It is truly unfortunate. Dan, I saw him about a month ago at an event they had here in Greeley, and he kind of whispered to me at that time. He said, hey, Scott, I'm leaving COGA. And I went, hmm? He says, look, it's just time. I'm going to take some time off. Dan didn't give me a reason why. He doesn't owe me a reason why. He doesn't owe anybody a reason why. Dan is a gentleman. He's a good and decent individual. And Dan has done more to protect the oil and gas industry in Colorado. But as we know, that's an emotionally ginned up topic that is ran again by the folks in Denver Boulder. And rather than looking at the facts that Dan Haley reliably provided, the actual science and the actual facts that he provided legislators, they didn't care. They had a narrative. And God forbid that the facts and the truths, and God forbid that interrupts their narrative. He had a narrative that he wanted to drive forward. The legislature did, and they overcame Dan's facts. Dan was a gentleman and competently and calmly counteracted every lie from the left, every lie from the enviros, and it still didn't matter. Because the Colorado legislature is hell-bent on keeping it in the ground. And I got to wonder, and again, I don't know this from personal account. Dan did not tell me this. I got to wonder if he just said, I'm throwing in the towel. And I guess no one could blame him. But Dan Haley will be missed in the conversation and the fight for the oil and gas industry here in the state of Colorado. And I wish you nothing but well, sir. You're a good man. John Caldera has an article that I comment about. He wrote about it on his Common Sense. What is it? No, there's Common Sense Institute. He is the Independence Institute. Caldera has the Independence Institute. And he talked a lot about how, they're arm sweeping transit money. Are they arm sweeping money? The money that's available for transportation into transit. John, you're just now realizing this. And he talked about how 4% of the people. Denver, despite all, only 4% of Denver's commuters using transit, most transportation funding goes to it. You're seeing that in Denver, and you're going to see that all of a sudden now in the Colorado Department of Transportation. Colorado Department of Transportation guides itself by something called, the current document is PD-14, Policy Directorate 14. And the Transportation Commission just voted to amend the Policy Directorate that directs that, which CDOT will do. And they took away all mention of level of service. Level of service, folks, is capacity. It's alleviating traffic jams. They took away all mention of level of service. And they have transformed the Colorado Department of Transportation now. Just will be the Colorado Department of Greenhouse Gas. Because that is what CDOT is tasked with now, is reducing greenhouse gas. And they don't care about the level of service on their roadways, according to their own policy doctorate. They don't care about the capacity on their roadways. And I tell this to you folks in the fact that you need to be involved. I went to a forum here recently that was hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation, and it was all about safety on the roadways. And they have something that sounds good and it feels good. It's an impossible goal. Sounds good, feels good, called Vision Zero. And what Vision Zero is, what they hope Vision Zero will be, is zero deaths on roadways. That is a wonderful dream, and we could all hope for as much. But I think you and I both know that it's not realistic. But they're putting all their money into Vision Zero. How can they have a conversation about improving the safety on the roadways unless they have a conversation about increasing the capacity? Because increased capacity goes hand in hand with improved traffic safety. They talked at this forum about their high concern, the safety forum held by CDOT, their high concern for distracted driving. And we all need to put our damn phones down. Let's just be frank about that. Put your darn phone down. That is a significant problem with safety on the roadways. And they're very concerned with distracted driving. But I said, you know, you guys need to be concerned with something I call frustrated driving. And try this one on. Here's my concept behind frustrated driving. That for those of us who have lived around here for any part of time at all, we remember when we used to be able to get from point A to point B in X amount of minutes. Well, now, to get from point A to point B, it takes X plus 20. And that adds a level of frustration. I kind of laughed the other day in the fact that there are traffic jams now. I go through here every day, about 7:30, 7:35 on my way into the office on O Street. I go through the intersection of County Road 17 and Highway 60. And there is the kind of traffic backup there that extends a mile to the east, a mile to the west. I've never seen anything like it. Julie and I first moved to Johnstown on April Fool's Day, 1998, is when we closed on our first house here. There were 3,200 people in the town of Johnstown. Today, we approach 21,000. The predictions for growth on Johnstown shows that by 2050, it will be 72,000 persons. From the 3,200 to the 21,000 that exist today, since Julie and I have lived in this town, the main roads in and out of town are County Road 17 north-south and Colorado Highway 60 east-west. And neither one have increased one iota when it comes to increased capacity. The roadways are still exactly the same. But the number of people are living here are, what, 8X? I heard a fact. I chair the Highway 34 Coalition. And I heard a fact here the other night at the Highway 34 Coalition meeting that in the 11-mile stretch between Rocky Mountain Boulevard, which is just kind of immediately to the west of the Centaria area there in Loveland, from Rocky Mountain Boulevard to 83rd Avenue in Greeley, an 11-mile stretch along Highway 34, currently 27,100-ish people live in that stretch. By 2044, 20 years from now, 147,000 people will live in that stretch. And there are no significant plans by the Colorado Department of Transportation to improve that roadway. None. How do you think that's going to look in 2024 when the population along that roadway increases by a factor of 5? Folks, we must advocate. And when I say we, I know I have some friends that are state legislators or will soon be state legislators that will likely listen to this podcast. You need to fight the state legislator. But when I say we, the collective we, is all of us. John Q. Citizen, you need to speak up at any given meeting that you can about making sure that we increase the capacity in Colorado's roadways. Because how can Weld County be one of the fastest growing counties in the state, if not the nation, and not have increased transportation dollars from the Colorado Department of Transportation? How can we not increase our capacity when our population increases by such a factor? We have to work on this. Okay. I'm pausing to think about what I want to talk about next. See, this is why I should map out podcasts. I'm sorry about that. Here's one of those things that's been on my heart lately. My good friend and my pastor, Jonathan Wiggins at Rest Church, is in the middle of his God and Country series. And it's amazing. In the show notes that accompany this, you can go and see links to the YouTube. You should watch it. Last week's message was about the Abrahamic covenant and how the founders had that in mind when they drew up the, by God, good old-fashioned United States of America here, the Abrahamic covenant. And it talks about the relationship between God and his people and the nation. To surmise it, I look at so many people that say, hey, commissioner, what are we going to do to address X problem or Y problem or Z problem? One of the big ones I hear, and I'll comment about it in a second, is homelessness. What are we going to do to affect homelessness? Well, I always look at them and say, who are the we? Who are the we? Because what you're doing is you're looking to government. Commissioner, I need to make sure that you make abortion go away. I don't have the authority. And B, when you truly study that issue, if you want abortion to go away, the true seed change that must happen is a change in people's hearts. And government doesn't change hearts. God does. That's what this Abrahamic covenant is all about, is that if you keep looking to government to make the people better, it will fail every time. People themselves need to become better. They need to self-govern. They need to live worthy. They need to live in authority under God. And when they are good themselves, when they allow God to change their hearts and to change their lives, then their government will change. I put some facts and figures online here. Let me just read this for you. Approximately 30% of Americans regularly attend religious services. Only 30%. With 21% attending every week and 9% almost every week. The data reflects a decline from previous decades when about 42% attended regularly two decades ago. The decline is largely due to an increase in Americans with no religious affiliation. What about separation of church and state? Founders didn't envision that at all. They wanted you to have the freedom of religion, but not necessarily the freedom from it. We are made better through a God who, by the way, we bear the image of. We are the image bearers of the Almighty. We are made better by a God, and as we make ourselves better, the government shall become better. See, we humans abhor a vacuum. And if we don't worship God, then guess what? We're going to worship something. And there are far too many people today that worship government. Government is not the highest authority. Almighty God is. I spoke at this Common Grounds monthly coffee meeting that the Greeley Chamber has, and I go and I speak to it every month, and they like me. Jamie Henning at the Greeley Chamber likes me being there talking about the things that are happening in the county, and she gets Mayor Gates from Greeley there to talk about things that are happening in Greeley. And the topic, the main topic this week was homelessness. And there are a couple of people, Ernest from the United Way and Mindy from the city of Greeley, who are doing yeoman's work in their efforts to fix homelessness. They truly are doing amazing work. But they kept talking about the we. We must do this, and we must do that, and we must do this. And then they talked about how, well, we visited Milwaukee to see what they were doing. Well, who are the we and who are the they? I say this so earnestly. If we were to truly place ourselves under God's authority and to do what the Bible instructs, including caring for our fellow man, we wouldn't need a massive welfare state. We wouldn't need homelessness initiatives. Because if we were truly living under the authority of God and doing what his book says, we would address those issues among ourselves. Altruistic? I think not. But see, 30% of Americans regularly attend church, and the largest percentage of us anymore don't even have a deity. But nature abhors a vacuum, and you shall worship something. It heavies my heart, because that's what I told them, as I said, where is the church? Where is the church in the homeless issue? And where are the we? Stop turning to government to fix your problems. Place yourself under the authority of a higher power. fix yourself, and it's magical how the government will suddenly reflect who you are. But that is a generational proposition, and it's not going to happen with one election. But the election that we have here in, geez, is it under 30 days now? I believe it's more than just an election. I believe it is a verdict. It is a verdict on the American people. What are we going to choose? Are we going to choose more authoritarianism? Are we going to choose more freedom? I believe the more freedom exists in Donald Trump. Now, trust me, I'm not here to defend Trump, but in the binary choice that we have, that's who I'm going to vote for. I believe that he represents freedom, and I believe that true socialism is coming into the ideas that are represented by the left. So I believe that this coming election, this fall, is an indictment on the American people. It's more than just an election. It's the jury's out, folks. And what are we going to choose as a nation? I close with some pictures on my blog at scottkjames.com under the show notes for this. Of a bunch of pictures I took of my backyard this summer, of that place that I got to spend so much more time, of that place that I got to be selfish and not record and not write and spend time with my wife and my dog. And there are pictures of my beloved pergola, cocktails and cigars, Bella begging for cheese, full moons, long nights of sunshine, and the waning summer that's now become fall. There's a change afoot, folks. Let's be involved. As these seasons change, I will be here more often. I'll try to structure these podcasts a little bit more, but I wanted to turn on the mic and talk from the heart. Know that I love you. Know that I appreciate you listening to the Scottcast.
Connect with Scott today. www.scottkjames.com. Click on Contact Scott. The Scottcast is a copyrighted production of Scott K. James. Reuse is prohibited without prior consent. Please like, follow, subscribe, and comment wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to the Scottcast.